And God and Legacy is a series on faith, family, and finances. And if you're taking notes, go ahead and write this down. Legacy is something that is passed on. Legacy is something that is passed on, and it'll come up on the screen soon enough. We have a second definition of that. Go ahead and write this down. Legacy is money laid aside for future generations. Money laid aside for future generations. All right, and so what I love about God is God is a God of generations. God loves us and he thinks about us, but he's also thinking about the next generation. And so I want to go here for our hanger verse today. Proverbs 13:22 says this. It says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Good people leave an inheritance, not just to their grandchildren, but to their children's children. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. I'll take that. Praise the Lord. So a key question, it's God's word. Key question is this today. I want to start us out with this question. Have I thought about the financial legacy that I will leave behind? Have I thought about the financial legacy that I will leave behind? I love that. Whoever said that, God bless you, brother, every day. You're 10 steps ahead in life. Have you thought about this? Because it is a reality. I just buried my dad in January, and God rest his soul, God bless his soul. Thank God he left something for me. And what he left for me has also impacted my kids. And thank God he fulfills the scripture, the word of God. Good people leave an inheritance for their grandchildren. And I don't think you can be too young to begin to think about this. As a matter of fact, I think a verse like Proverbs 13:22, it really helps you to get your priorities straight. Yeah. And what God is saying is this should be one of your focuses in life. It's not just the day to day. It's not just the struggles. It's looking deep into your future. And even if you never have kids, the fact of the matter is that you're going to leave something to somebody. And whatever you leave to somebody, there's someone under them that they love. So if you leave it to them, even though you don't have kids, they're going to receive it and they're going to be able to invest it into their kids. You know, the old saying says it takes a village to raise a child, right? So whether you're a parent or not, you're impacting the next generation in some way. So but Proverbs 13 kind of gives us guardrails. Like, so I'm looking at this verse and I'm thinking about if I'm a teenager, I'm thinking about school, right? And you have to understand that everything that you're doing now, the habits that you're cultivating now, the attitude that you're cultivating now has everything to do with the financial wealth that you're going to be able to step into in the future. And you won't be 16 all your life. You won't be 20 all of your life. You won't be 40 all of your life. And my thought is that if God cares about this, I should lean into this. I should get serious about building wealth. Someone say building wealth. All right, so that's the title of our message today. And here's the good news is that we can build wealth with the wisdom of God. Yes. We can build wealth with the wisdom of God. And God gave us an entire book on wisdom called the Book of Proverbs. And it was, most of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, in which many would consider as the wisest and most wealthiest man to ever live, King Solomon. So today I want to give you 6 keys to building financial wealth. This is not an exhaustive list. We could have kept going. I got like 49 of them, but I figure we could lean into these 6. And there are over 820 verses in the Bible about money. Jesus talked more about finances than he did heaven, hell, faith, and love put together. So there's something here about building wealth having a godly heart and a godly goals, godly ambitions for our wealth. Six keys to building financial wealth. Okay, number one is vision. Number one is vision. You got to have foresight.
That's right.
There's a need in your life to have vision. I was talking to a good friend on Friday about this, and about how when most people think about vision, they think 20, 30 years down the road. And majority become very discouraged because I don't know. I can't see it. I'm not the type of person that has vision. Vision can start per month. It can be per quarter. Sometimes you can have vision that has nothing to do with your finances. Maybe it's vision for your health or vision for your home. And it has a direct impact on your financial destiny. So maybe this quarter you have a physical health goal or a physical health vision. And then once you're faithful to that, you know, say come the top of the fall, that momentum rolls over into a financial vision. It's like, whoa, I feel good. I'm in shape. Let me start to really lean into my finances. So vision isn't always 5 or 10 years out. Sometimes for some of you who struggle with long-term vision, you got to start in the more immediate, the more week to week, the month to month, the quarter to quarter. But it's so important that if you're going to build financial wealth, that you're a person of vision.
That's good.
All right. And because the word of God says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. So what I'm going to do, there's a flow to all six of these keys, right? The flow is I'm going to give you the point. I'm going to give you a proverb. Then I'm going to give you a question to think about. So here's the question for vision. Here it is. What do I want the quality of my financial future to be? What do I want it to be? And we're not talking about an amount of money. We're talking about freedom, peace. Do you want it to be better, greater? Do you want to have mobility? Do you want to be generous on every occasion? Do you want to increase your tithe, increase your offering, increase your impact? What do you want your financial future to look like? Because here's the deal. Everyone, as long as you're alive, has a financial future. And if you're living day to day, if your mindset is just going to work and collecting a check and you're struggling now, that's only going to continue to be the case. So you need, someone say vision. You know what? I don't want to be in debt all my life. I don't want to be broke all my life. I don't want to borrow from my parents all my life. I want to have freedom and mobility, and I want to have access. Number two, work. The second key to building financial wealth is work. Judah asked me the other day. Judah's our 9-year-old. He's our youngest. I don't know how we got into it. He was asking me about credit. Man, the Gen Alpha, they're very prophetic. I don't know if you've noticed. They listen. They pick up on stuff that we didn't learn until we were 30. Now, why are you asking me about credit? You're 9 years old. And then we got into this, Dad, what was your first job? And I said, my first job was Cracker Barrel. I was in the retail area. So when you go into Cracker Barrel, that was me. Say, hey, I had my apron on and, hey, how are you? That's where I learned to fold the shirts and all that. And, you know, it was good. That's all me. All that candy and that soda in Cracker Barrel, that was all me. And so he said, what, Cracker Barrel? I said, yeah, that was me. And so he said, did you like your job? I said, I appreciated it. I appreciated it. And I said, I'll tell you why. It's because every 2 weeks there's a paycheck in my name. When I was 17 years old and you see $500, $600, $1,000, it meant the world to you. And I took pride in my job, right? There's pride in work. When God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says he blessed them.
Right.
But what did he bless them to do? He blessed them to work, right? Because no work, no wages. Right? So work is a principle of building financial wealth. And there are levels to work. I'm still working this out. You can write this down, and maybe you can add your own language to it, but write this down. And this isn't even in my notes, but I'll just give you this for free. There are three levels of work. One is hand work. I'm going to work this out in front of you. Let's see what I can come up with. One is hand work, and that's where you got to work with your hands. That's the toughest kind of work, right? God bless people who do that. Like, if we didn't have blue-collar people, we couldn't be in this building, right? Like, God bless that. But that's work, and there's honor in that. And then it's what I call head work, where it's heady, it's administrative, it's thinking, it's analytics, it's heady, it's engineering, it's heady. You're working with your head and your hands, but it's heady, and it's, but then it's what the highest level of work is what I like to call heart work, where you're working with your hands and your head, but you're influencing people. You're delegating, you're leading. And I'll just put it out here like this. The level of pay goes from hand to head to heart. So I just want to let you know. It's just a thought. Key questions. Here it is. Does the quality of my work position me for financial increase in the future? Wow. The quality of my work.
That's so good.
Okay, yeah, I work at a grocery store. You have a financial future. Is my attitude, is my work ethic positioning me for more? I'm a lawyer. You know, I'm a judge. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm a nursing student. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Does the quality of your work position you? Can God look from heaven and say, man, I want to increase that person? If you're a believer, here's an even better question. Does the quality of my work bring glory to the Lord?
Wow.
Am I bringing glory to God when I clock in? Because I have a financial future. I'm building legacy. I'm building legacy. You don't want to get to your funeral and well, you won't be there, but you don't want.
Well,
you won't. You don't want your family to get to your funeral and they're scraping dollars to put you in the ground. They might as well cremate you. It's cheaper to burn you up. I'm too real. You just don't want to.
Yes.
So at a certain point, you gotta care about this stuff.
That's
and here it is. Don't expect a handout.
That's right.
That's what's killing America right now. It's too many people out there right now.
We're waiting for it.
Yes.
Give me what you've built.
Wow.
That's not how God works. You got to repent of that attitude. You got to work your own land. All right, here it is. Proverbs 22. Show me someone who does a good job. Come on, Solomon. And I will show you someone who is better than most and worthy of the company of kings. Yeah. Number three, the third key to building wealth is education. Education. As my father was in the hospital, just, you know, a nursing student was with a nurse, and I could tell, you know, I was raised by an older man, so I got respect, but I could tell that she was in her mid-40s or so. I didn't ask her age. I could just tell. And I said, you're in school. What was your career prior to nursing? She said, I worked for the airline business for 20 years. And I said, so why the switch? She said, number one, I wanted to help people, and the airline industry wasn't paying me enough. And so she said, I wanted to help people in a different way, and I wanted more income. And it's never too late to go back to school.
Yes.
It's never too late to continue your education. If you're in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you can continue your education. Yes. Proverbs 19 says this here, to acquire wisdom is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. To acquire wisdom, people who cherish understanding, that word prosper means move forward. It means that your life is going to be filled with good things. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that if you have a high school diploma, you top out at around 40K a year. Some college, 48K. I don't know if that's coming up. Just follow me. An associate's, 51K. A bachelor's, you see this jump? 80K. 98K. 140. A professional degree, 152. So what's the takeaway? The higher my education, the higher my compensation. Why is that, though, Pastor? It's because the more you know, the less people know what you know. You understand that? So you become a commodity that the marketplace wants and needs. So here it is, common wages for common knowledge. So if you want to stay common in your mind, you'll get the typical wage and you'll war against the government and against industry. Thinking some versus saying, God has given me $1 million mind.
Wow.
And I'm scared of a little $20,000 debt from school. If you get smarter and educate yourself, you can pay that debt off one day. But in a place like America, like Americans have no excuse. You do know this. We only have the excuses we create. But I'm going to go back through this again. Anyone interested? Show of hands. You interested? All right, about five people. Okay. 40K high school diploma. 48, some college. God just said, lay it out today. I said, okay. Associates, 51. Bachelor's, 80. Master's, 98. Doctorate, 140. And I heard a friend back in college put it this way. And this quote is all across the world. He's not the originator of it, but he illuminated me. You know, he lit it up in my mind. He said, Joshua, because he's a pharmacy student. Now he's a pharmacist and a pastor. He's doing amazing things. He's doing great. He said, he used to say in college, he said, I'm working hard today so I can play hard later. Yeah. Right? Because if I play hard today, I'm going to have to work hard later. And the idea is that as you get older, you don't want to work hard later.
Good.
I heard T.D. Jakes say this. He said, there's an older you, young people, hear me. There's an older you on the inside hoping that you're making decisions today that the older you can feed off of. They're hoping.
Yeah.
They're hoping that you don't become fearful. 50, 60-year-olds, I'm struggling so much. What can you do differently? What certificate is out there? What degree is out there? What one-year program is out there that if you took it and you got that job, you got that position, it could increase your income 25K plus. It's just a one-year certificate. We have to stop sitting. And I just feel like Christians should be the most resourceful people. And so here's the key question. Am I living beneath my learning potential?
Wow.
Am I living beneath it? Have I tapped out? Because this is what oftentimes financial frustration is the mind saying, I want to grow. I'm going to let you read that for a second. I'll be straight up honest. Honestly, guys, my wife, we've made it. God's been so good to us. But we're going back to school. I'm going to get my doctorate. Because there's no settling. Christ calls you high and higher and high. Paul says from glory to glory.
Yes.
So in a lot of people's eyes, that person has made it. But within them, they know that there's more.
Right.
And if you're really following Jesus, you don't get stuck
yes.
for too long at the same level.
Yes.
You're always asking God what's next and allowing the Holy Spirit by his grace to carry you into that, because you come to a point where you realize I'm not even building my life for me anymore. I'm building it for others. I'm building it for my kids. I'm building it for people who need a source of encouragement to look at. So please, it's not that you're not making enough money. Maybe your mind is saying, please, you're not maximizing me. The creator of the universe put me, this computer on the inside, and social media is eating me up. I need. Come on. You ever notice that? We love celebrating other people's success. Yeah. It's like when we go to a barbershop, every single day, LeBron and Jordan. It's like, can we change the conversation to like credit and finances and faith and values and Jesus? Can we change it to something else? Them cats already rich. They don't even care about me. They don't know me. Number four, counsel. It's the fourth key to building financial. Is this a good message, y'all? Okay. Can we celebrate and praise God a little bit? Come on. Let's praise the Lord. I know some of y'all feel like y'all in a financial seminar. It's okay. All right, counsel. Someone say counsel. All right, I've come to discover that the gap between, this is life, not just finances. Oftentimes, where I am and where I want to be is the wisdom of a wiser person. Yeah, wow. I'm here, but I want to be here. The wisdom of a wiser person is oftentimes that missing bridge. Okay? And here are two things that you need when you're seeking counsel. You need, it won't come up on the screen. You need a plan. You need a plan. Have a plan. And you need, number two, good questions. You need good questions. So you need good questions. So, for example, your plan could be to eliminate all of your debt in a few years. Your plan could be to have $1 million portfolio in the next decade. Your plan could be increase your credit score. Your plan could be, how do I start investing for retirement? I am so impressed by the number of 20-year-olds. Yeah. It's even creeping down into 19, 18-year-olds who have started investing into retirement. Very impressed. They have far more money, majority of them now, than millennials had at the same age. It's impressive. It's a beautiful thing. They're wise. Here's the key question. Am I seeking wise counsel for the financial dreams in my heart? Are you seeking counsel? Don't stay stuck. Don't stay in your mind. You have to, there are dreams in your heart. There's that better, that greater, that freedom, that mobility. Now, there's someone out here out of 8 billion people that can help what's in here get up here so you can get moving. Because as long as it's here, it's just a daydream and a nightmare, right? The Bible says that a dream deferred makes the heart sick. Right, you've been in the same loop for 10 years. You got a dream. Yes. You just don't have the know-how.
Right.
Wiser person.
Yes.
All right. Plans, Proverbs 15. Y'all okay?
Yes.
Fell for lack of counsel. So, Pastor, I got my plan. All right, good. Plans fell for lack of counsel.
Yes.
But with many, someone say many.
Many.
Advisors, they what?
Succeed.
Bam. I ain't lying to you. I ain't come this far to lie. I ain't wake up this early to lie to you. I love you too much to lie to you.
Come on
now. All right, now, ooh, I love this one. Y'all might sneeze on this one. Y'all think it's the pollen, but this is a seasonal Christian allergen. Y'all ready? Y'all like, it's the pollen. What? No, it's the patience. Number five. Number five, it should have said patience. Maybe I didn't put it. Number five is patience. Wow. Write that down. It should have been up there. It'll be up there. Yeah. The fifth key is patience. Someone say patience.
Patience.
All right. I'm going to give you the Greek term for patience, because patience is an outcome, thank you, Holy Spirit, of walking with Jesus. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, if you're taking notes. You're patient. Patient. So the Greek is hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hupomone. And here it is. Patience, guys, is the ability to remain under challenges. Because whenever you're building wealth, there are going to be some challenges.
Yes, sir.
And God's going to allow them, and the enemy's going to use them to keep you impoverished. God's going to allow them to develop you. The enemy's going to ride them to keep you low.
Yes.
So you need patience. And it's also a B definition is this. It's waiting on the Lord to fulfill his good promises.
Come on.
It's the fifth key to building all forms of wealth in your life. It's patience. Go with me here. Joshua, God put a town in the heart of Joshua. He said, you're going to own a town one day. He said, you're going to own a town one day. You know how long it took him? 45 years. He put a mountain in Caleb's heart. He said, you know how long it's going to take you? 45 years. He put a kingdom on Joseph's heart. You know how long it took Joseph? 20 years. Someone say patience.
Patience.
Patience. The average age of a millionaire in America is 55 years old.
Wow.
What you rushing for?
Yes.
Why are you so anxious? To my young folk, I know what you see on social media is pulling. You don't feel like you'll ever reach 55. Someone say 55. 55, the average age of a millionaire. Here it is. 8 out of 10 millionaires did not inherit their wealth, their first generation. So for all the no hope for me people, Stop. 80% of millionaires right now walking this earth are first generation. Here's the question. Do I have the patience to endure the stages of financial growth? It's stages, guys. It's stages. Because wealth is built over time. It's a long-term outlook is the key. It's the key. It's patience. And then the sixth key is trust. It's trust. Trust who? It's trusting Christ with my life. It's putting my life in the palm of Christ's hands. And it's trusting him. And it's having an abundance mindset. It's understanding that Jesus didn't just want to save me from my sin, but he also came so that I would live an abundant life. It's trusting the Lord. He came so that I would have the resource to build the kingdom and to pass on legacy to the next generation. It's trust. Here's the verse, Proverbs 3. It says this here, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first and best part of all your income. This is tithing, putting God first in your finances. Tithing through your local church, honoring the Lord with your wealth. Someone say, then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine.
Yes.
So all six of these must be wrapped up in trusting Jesus. And understanding that God has great plans for your future. And if you would apply these principles and work them, you'll see the hand of God move in your life over time. If you've been blessed by the word of God, could you put your hands together?